If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. All right, we have with us on the line a very interesting woman, Dr. Ina Mishra. She's the postdoctoral research associate at the College of Pharmacy at the University of North Texas Health Science Center in Fort Worth. She's going to be speaking at MetroCon, and we're all really looking forward to that. That'll be most interesting. So welcome to the program, Dr. Mishra.
Thank you so much.
Would you tell us what is exactly the... I know that you're doing a lot of research in type 2 diabetes. I understand you're on the verge of maybe some breakthroughs with treating or at least discovering type 2 diabetes, the worldwide epidemic preceded by pre-diabetes, and that's where you're concentrating. Is that correct? Can you give us kind of a preview of what we can expect to hear at the conference?
Yes. So we are basically assessing the metabolic health using compact NMR, and that's what my title is. So we are looking at a very new approach using the NMR relaxometry to assess the metabolic health, and the atypical biomarker which we are using is the water relaxation time that comes out of the NMR. So this is really a very new approach to assess the metabolic health, and our whole purpose of assessing this health is because diabetes doesn't occur by itself. So there are transitional stages that precede it, and for example, pre-diabetes is a stage that precedes diabetes. It occurs before diabetes, and it's very well known and identified. But there is also a stage of early metabolic dysfunction that occurs before pre-diabetes, and that is when the metabolic dysfunction starts. And that is our focus to identify, because by the time pre-diabetes occurs, a significant loss of beta cell function has already occurred. So it's logical to have an early prevention for an early detection intervention. So that's how we are focusing on this whole metabolic dysfunction and diabetes path.
Yeah, if you can isolate the pre-diabetes, the idea is that it'll be easier to treat and maybe prevent some of the very serious consequences of full-blown diabetes. Is that the point?
That is, but we are focusing mainly on the non-diabetics, which are pre-diabetic, and the people who have normal glucose. So they, according to the current clinical criteria, they would be normal because they have normal glucose. But what we are focusing on is within that stage, while they have normal glucose, that is because of the compensatory hyperinsulinemia. So they have yet not developed pre-diabetes, but they are not metabolically healthy. So when they have the compensatory hyperinsulinemia, the insulin levels increase, which keep the glucose levels normal, but along with it, what happens is a subclinical dysproteinemia. So there are specific proteins in the blood that increase, and the shift in levels of those specific proteins during this stage. So because by the time pre-diabetes occur, we can easily detect it by the current methods of glucose and A1C. But before that is where the problem lies. So we are aiming that if people use this test in future, of course, this needs validation in larger cohort, for which the studies are underway. But the whole idea is that long term, when people use this for metabolic health screening, like a routine assessment, like we have the routine blood work, so this would help us analyze the metabolic health, and people would know that they are going down the line of metabolic dysfunction before they actually become pre-diabetic.
Okay, so that gives you a very early warning, even before pre-diabetes. It is kind of like pre-diabetes, and you say that it circumvents the pitfalls associated with fasting glucose and hemoglobin, but what are those pitfalls?
So the pitfalls are, like, first of all, this in the early stage, it's not just about one thing, which is glucose. It's a constellation where there are subclinical shifts for proteins and lipids, and the glucose levels remain normal. So when they are normal, the current criteria of fasting glucose and A1C will not be able to find it, because the glucose levels and the A1C levels will come as normal on the blood report. So that is one pitfall for those methods. And that pitfall arises mainly because these measurements are focusing just on the glucose part, and not on the protein shifts that accompany along with what happens in the early stage.
Okay. What do you hope that the audience will take away from your presentation? What is the one really big, strong point that you want to drive home and succinctly have the audience take with them when they leave, the impression that you want to leave them with?
So, I think I would want to let the audience understand the whole that whole new approach of using that we can even use NMR even in clinical settings. It's a low benchtop NMR, so this can be used. This is a very new technique, and this is very, very capable with the data that we have in identifying early abnormalities. And this would also make the audience aware that there are conditions existing before prediabetes. So even if the blood reports are normal, like an exhaustive blood report panel might tell you the same what our one biomarker would, but it would be, of course, it will be more inexpensive, it will be more reliable. So yeah, this is a very accurate marker. It has like very great sensitivity of 100%, and it has a very high specificity of 87%, which is not as good as 100%, but with 100% sensitivity, 87% specificity is a really good combination. So I would just want the audience to understand the whole principle involved in it, like how this new technique, how can they familiarize themselves with the new technique? Because a lot of times people think that biomarkers would be something like measuring some analytes, like chemically or biologically, but this is like biophysically. So we are involving a very new approach.
All right. Well, look down the road a little bit into the future, maybe 5 years or so. What do you see? 5 or 10 years or 3 years? Or do you have a kind of a marker in how things are going? Give us a look into the future. What do you see?
So I actually see a good road ahead, and we are already on way to do this in a larger cohort of 800 people from the biobanks. And we're also creating our own cohort. So with those 800 people in our own cohort, we'll have like various lifestyle interventions. So we are using the work that's already done in a way that we will not be creating those 800 people, like storing samples for them. So since there is already biobank out there, we are making use of it. And those biobanks from the NIH and other big blood banks, they have done all the lifestyle intervention studies and different metabolic intervention studies. So we can use those samples and determine the water relaxation time, which is our biomarker, using NMR relaxometry. And that will give us a very good retrospective prospective analysis. And so with that, I see that down the line, with 5 to 7 years from now, I think we will be involved in a lot of clinical work, like in the clinics, or like we are already talking to other companies, and especially the one we worked with, who would take this approach and establish it further as a test.
Well, Ina, exciting things you're doing then with the prognosis for pre-diabetes and treating the entire disease. I want to ask you something too. I know that you've probably been mentored a lot by people that have brought you along there at the College of Pharmacy and at the University of North Texas Health Science Center and other places, as you studied at the other universities and both abroad and in the United States, and you've been mentored and given some words of wisdom, words to live by. Can you give us what sort of advice would you give a protege or a younger person?
So I have been mainly involved in the research work, and I think I've learned a lot over the years. I mean, work-wise, personally, it's a very good learning process. And coming into the United States and gaining my education here was really a very helpful process too. So I think what I think really matters in research is the integrity and respect towards others, but be faithful to your work, to what you're doing for others, and because in the end, all that we are doing is going to benefit the humans and the humankind. So I think I think for any young person who would enter research, should understand and respect integrity.
All right, integrity. Well, Dr. Ina Mishra, such a joy speaking with you. We're so glad to hear about the research and the work that you're doing with the type 2 diabetes, since it is a worldwide epidemic, and you're able to work to bring about treatments and cures. And we're looking forward to seeing you at the Metricon conference. It'll be at the Hearst Convention Center on the 7th of November. So, and thank you for being a guest on our program.
Thank you so much for calling. It was a pleasure talking to you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz.